Welcome, everybody. Thanks for being here tonight. I guess we've all had a pretty darn long day here, so I'm going to try to get right to the point on things that we've been looking at, things that have worked for us, things that we believe in, and share those with you, and go over a wide variety of markets so you get a nice broad-based idea of what's going on out there from our viewpoint. Our viewpoint, this is optionprofessor.com, and basically we've been in the business here for decades, and we've educated thousands upon thousands of people at our live seminars and our webinars throughout the country and Canada, and background, I'm a graduate of Boston College and went to school out at UCLA. And, I'm pretty familiar with all types of investments, from the stock market to bond market to commodities to options to everything. So I'll give you the best shot I have on what I'm looking at. And then at the end of the broadcast, if you'd like to get the free market newsletter, which we come out with every week, sent into your inbox, you just simply go to optionprofessor.com, put in your email address, and then you'll be in the queue. Every week when we come out with our overview on what's going on out there, we'll shoot you out a free copy, and you can take a look and get our vantage point free of charge. So that's a pretty good deal. Okay, let's talk about what's going on. What's going on is up, 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 and away. What are we seeing here? We're seeing a pretty good stampede going into Thanksgiving. And some of the reasons are, you know, interest in the bank is still at zero and people need to make some money. And people now are seeing that stimulus is going to not go away. And they're looking at a transition that's now looking like it's going to happen. And also they're looking at vaccines coming out of the woodwork. So obviously when you start looking at value, which we've been telling people about for 6 months, and we've just been loading the wagon on it, basically, you know, people are plowing into those because they can see that the valuations are extremely low. They're still underneath their 52-week high, where growth and tech and everything else has gone 9 miles past their 52-week high. So, that's what's going on. And is there more to come? Well, it looks like tomorrow there could be a little bit more to come because we're up about 17, 18 points on the futures in the aftermarket. So, you're above 30,000 on the Dow, you know, so certainly shorting it is, there's nothing to short against because you're in infinity up here. And the only thing you got to worry about is the things we always talk about, which is what? You know, you're clearly way above all the moving averages. The 200-day moving average on the S&P is at 3150. We're up at 3700 almost. That's a long way away. The RSIs are up in the red zones. You're looking at the VIX at that low area, which I'll show you in a minute. And we got some reports coming out tomorrow. Unemployment claims are going to be coming out because of the holiday. They're coming out tomorrow. Durable goods coming out tomorrow. So there's going to be some things coming out, and it might not be that rosy. So, you know, it's possible that the market could, in the next week or so, definitely give something back. The stuff that we're in, we're enjoying, which everyone should be doing, enjoying what they own. But as far as loading the wagon up here, 3,700 on the S&P, ballpark area, 31,000 on the Dow. I don't know. I think I'd rather put everything on ice. One way of goofing up a good account is to add at the wrong time. So I wouldn't want to do that. So we're not pretty big proponents on loading the wagon after this kind of a run-up. Because the stuff we loaded the wagon on, financials and industrials and materials and energy, you know, they're going nuts. When they're going nuts, you're supposed to be enjoying the ride, not getting on the ride, I don't think. Anyway, let's talk about the S&P. Right now, you can see it's at 3650, according to my screen, up 17 points. You can see the high point there is at 3655. And so we're right there. This is on a five-day basis. Let's go back over the last 3 months, give you an idea. Yeah, so we're still underneath the high of 3670, I think was the high, 3668, so 3670, still underneath that. But we did break above these numbers here, and this number here comes in at around 3640. So getting above 3640, I think, was kind of important, and it's done that in the aftermarket. Whether it's going to hold water or not, only time will tell. But again, this is on a three-month basis. You know, your moving averages are down here. You're way up there. It could get parabolic, but you thought it was going to get parabolic up here, and it had a nice little drop. So, you know, maybe it's going to make a new high, and then maybe it'll maybe sell off from there. I don't know. All I can tell you is this, is if you're in there, you're enjoying it, and loading the wagon up here, you know, that would be an aggressive move. Let me look and show you at the VIX, and let me give you some idea on this. The CBOE VIX. Volatility index right there. Okay, let's get that up here and see what's going on. All right. Yeah, you can see it's kind of sold out here. RSI is down under 50 at 37. You're down here there. Let's go look at the last 6 months and see what that shows you. Because this is the neighborhood where it's been at a low before. This low here was at 2028. This low here was at 2092. Today's low was 2080. So, you know, this is the neighborhood where there's lows. And if you remember, after this low in August, we got a pretty darn good size drop within a month. And in this low here in October, we got a pretty good drop at the end of October. So, you know, VIXs tend to come out of this neighborhood sometimes and give you a pretty good pop. I don't know if that's going to happen, but it wouldn't shock me because of the enthusiasm out there, the bullishness out there. The performance is just very spiky. The volume is high, which means everybody's plowing in. Remember, it's always a two-man operation, buyer and seller. If you're the seller and you see this kind of volume coming in like banshees, what are you going to do with the offer? You're going to raise the offer to the most legally high level you can, and then you're going to take in all this volume. And then if there's not a lot of volume behind it for whatever reason, because maybe the news changes a little bit, then the markets can fall under their own weight. So that's why you got to be careful about, you know, jumping in and adding to things when they're already way up. If you want to do some short-term trading, keep things on a short leash. Obviously, that's another thing you can do. All right. So basically, you know, that's our thesis as far as what's going on right now. Obviously, we've been saying big bull market since March, and we've been telling in the beginning of March and April to load up on growth and tech and that kind of, and the stay-at-home stocks. A brilliant idea. Then in the May area, we loaded up on the metals. Great idea there. Then after May, we started loading up on the value. We're getting paid big time on value now. So we've been rotating with the action and taking money off the table after the big run-ups. And so in September, obviously started to fade out of tech, started to fade out of growth, you know, mega cap growth. And if you look at the charts, which we can see right now, I can just show you on the Qs. Qs gives you a nice broad band on, you know, Facebook and everything else and, you know, all the other stocks, Microsoft. And you'll see September was the high point. And we haven't taken that out yet. And that's September's high point, September 2nd. So we've gone the whole month of September, the whole month of October, and now the whole month of November without taking that point out. Now, if it starts taking out 300, that's a different ball game, but it hadn't done that just yet. And right now it's trading around 296. So it could happen because that's where the trend's looking. I'm not saying that couldn't happen. And maybe it'll happen that they'll rotate back into this stuff like they did at the end of last week, because the end of last week, this thing was catching a bit. But the stuff that we have been loading up on basically has been things like the banks. So you go to an ETF, and rather than going into each individual stock, you know, what I tell people sometimes is go look at an ETF like this, VFH, and then go look at their top 10 holdings, okay? And now you've got 10 stocks to keep an eye on, okay? Now, obviously, we got our buy signal on this down at 61. This thing pays like 2.5% or better, I think, as far as a dividend distribution. So we're getting paid on our money, and we're watching a very, very good movie, okay? You also have the regionals, KRE. So I'm going to go through the stuff that we've been doing and what's been going on. KRE, again, buy signal down here in the 39 area, and we're up here at 50. Obviously, a great deal. Okay, energy. Energy was paying us like 6-7% dividend. Chevron, 7% dividend, $60 a share and change. Come on, it's a gimme. So here you go. We got our buy signal on this down at 42. It's paying 6-7% distribution, and it's now up to 54. So you're up 14 points on the stock, plus you're getting, you know, 6.5% or something like that dividend. Is that a bad deal? You know, everybody's talking about electric cars. I hear electric cars, sure. But I also see on the highways, there's not that many of them. So they still need this stuff, which is called energy. And of course, if we're going to get a turn in the economy, that's probably going to increase demand, not reduce it. And the rig counts and the fracking and all that stuff, you know, still is very favorable, I think, on the on the supply demand. So there you go with another sector there. Now, obviously, we think there's a bull market here. So what's the thing to do in our view? Pullbacks, you buy them. Pullbacks, you buy them. You're in here now. Enjoy the ride. Have a good Thanksgiving. You made a lot of money. God bless you. Okay. But don't, if you add up here at 56 and then it goes down to 48, you're going to ruin the whole trade, right? So wouldn't be that excited about doing that. Plus this low here, which comes in at 57, it could just go up there and fill that thing and then come down and start filling these gaps for all we know. You know, I'm an option guy. I've been an option guy for decades. So, you know, what am I interested in when things get this hot? I'm obviously interested in what? Selling calls into it. And I'm interested in selling calls and buying puts to protect my gains. Why? Because the trees don't grow to the sky. And when the moving average is at 42 and you're up at 56, it's getting a little bit extended, right? More than a little bit. So So again, you got to be careful when they go too fast. Okay, so you got energy, you got your financials, and then of course you've got your dividend payers here. This one's a high dividend paying type outfit, ETF. Again, if you would like to know what stocks that these guys use, they have a top 10 holdings listed. You can use that as an inventory of stocks to keep an eye on, and they could possibly be the best ones to keep an eye on in hindsight. You never know. So there you go. It's up at 91, got the buy signal at 82. This thing pays 3.5% or better, I think, dividend. That's a pretty good yield. So you're getting a great yield. And what are you getting? You're getting principal growth. That's called double whammy, and it's not bad. Again, turning to another one that we look at is mid-cap value. And again, you look up this ETF, you look up your 10 top holdings, you got 10 stocks to work with. These guys have done the homework for you, right? All right, so here, you jump above 104, you get the buy signal, this thing's up at 118, this thing pays around 2.5%, you're getting cash flow on your money, you're watching a very good movie. And this thing could have a lot more to go, because if you look at the five-year graph on it, you'll notice that it has not even gotten back to its 52-week high. All that stuff that I'm talking about, they haven't even gotten back to their 52-week high. That's why people are jamming in here. Because they're saying that, what, school's out and it's time to get going, right? So that's why we look at it. Small cap value, another one that we've loved. Give you another one here. This thing pays over 2% on your money, which is a heck of a lot better than you're getting in treasuries. And so you can replace that income. That's what people are doing. They're trying to replace their income, right? Because they can't get any income in money market. Bonds don't pay anything. So where are they going to get income? They're going to get income from value stocks. And we knew that 3 months ago. So bottom line here is buy signal comes in at 110, things at 138, and you're getting 2% or better on your money, and this thing's still got possibly more to go. Now, could it have pullbacks? It should have a pullback. I hope it has a pullback. Why? So then we could buy some more at it, right? Okay, so you got those three going right off the bat. Another one is these REITs. You know, these guys have stocks in there like American Tower and Castle Crown. What do? They got the towers for all the 5G stuff. Obviously, not a bad business. This thing pays a nice dividend too, and it's just coming out of the chute a little bit. So this is something on our radar as well. International. You know, this thing's been great to us ever since it came out. So we love it. International growth. It's got Baba in there. It's got Tencent. It's got all kinds of stuff in there. And basically, look at it. I mean, you know, this thing gave us the buy signal at 30. The thing's up to 47. That's a 50% jump, what, in 3 months, 5 months, something like that? Not bad. So obviously a little extended, so it could pull back, right? But this is the game in town if you want to play international, because it gives you some emerging market. It gives you some Europe. It gives you some Asia. And it has some U.S. in there as well. So that's pretty much, and it's obviously focusing on growth. That's why the thing's going like that. If you want to get international specific, you can go to a Pacific ETF that has a lot of Japan in it. And this one here, because Japan's been doing great. We talked about that 6 months ago. They made new highs on that Nikkei. And look at this thing. You know, we got the buy signal at 64, things at 76. So if you want to play Japan, that's another way of doing it right there. Then you got these ETFs like EWZ. If you think Brazil might be worth of something. Some people are looking at Petrobras right now as an energy play, PBR. But as you can see, this thing's just trying to get out of the chute too. Okay. So keep an eye on that. That could have a lot more upside potential. Look, this is the 52 week high. This is where you're looking at it. It's above the red line, which is the short term. It's above the green line. So as long as it's trading above 30, it's not a bad deal. And look, it just filled that gap. If it gets through there, you got another one at 42. Another country is Mexico. They say their inflation's not so bad. So it looks like they can lower their interest rates. Mexico is supposed to be replacing China maybe with some of the supply chains. And there's another one just, you know, starting to break out here a little bit. Way underneath the 52-week highs, right? This is the 52-week high up here. You're down here. So that's why people are plowing into these things, because they think we're going at least back to the 52-week high or beyond. Emerging markets. People like emerging markets. And they've been doing great. In fact, I just saw on the Philippines were on there, on Bloomberg. So here you go. Emerging market gave us a buy signal at 40, now at 49. So these are some of the things we've been hooking up into. And then I'll tell you, earlier in the year, we were looking at Freeport MacMoran. It was in single digits. And you got to say to yourself, what? Are they going to not use copper anymore? Are they going to not use gold or silver or have no value to them? And then you say, no, that's not going to be the case. So when you're trading at 5, 6, and 7, and 8, like when it gets above the red line here at about 8, you're getting a signal that it's turning. So you take a shot. And if you take a shot at 8 or 9, it's like buying an option. You can't lose more than 8 or 9 unless unless Freeport Macquarion goes belly up and look, we're up another 1.8 for 6 in the aftermarket. So anyway, you know, this is what you look at when things are down and out. You say, these guys aren't going out of business. I'm going to take my shot. And I've got an option, meaning I got a price like 10 or $8. And so that's all my risk is. And it's an option that never expires, which means what? You know, it's a cheap stock and I'm going to hold it until it either goes bankrupt or does what it's doing now. And obviously, if it's a decent story, it has a possibility of coming back. I'll show you one that we've just been involved in lately. Wells Fargo. What is this company going out of business? They got a branch on every corner where I'm at. And they got tons of customers, tons of money under management, tons of ways to make money. Yes, they've had their problems, but those problems are transitory. They're not permanent. And so here you go. And look at this. You see there, the RSI is way down here. And then it comes down and makes a new low. Can you see the RSI didn't make a new low? That's your buy signal. And then when you get above this point here, which was $23, and now today it's at 28. You know what 23 to 28 is? It's a 25% move or so. And is there more upside potential down the road? Well, come on. This is the 52-week high up at 55. The other banks are doing great. So we thought there was value down here because we didn't think they're going out of business. So we took a shot. Even some of these retailers, come on. You know, you act like the people are acting like they're never going to go back to the stores. You know, Macy's, yeah, they got a bad, bad stuff going on. But, you know, when it goes down to $4 and you know that the Miracle on 34th Street store is probably worth $4 by itself, you know, you take a shot. If they don't go out of business, the stock goes to 10, you got a double. Same thing with Nordstrom's. But is nobody ever going to shop at Nordstrom ever again? And there you go. Nordstrom goes down to like $12. Now it's at $24, you know? So, you know, used to be 65. 65 down to 20, 50 down to 12, 11, you know, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. You know, same thing with these airlines. You know, what do we have? Delta. Delta's not, what are we, never going to fly Delta ever again? Now, Delta has international flights, so the better one to look at is Southwest. But, you know, come on. You get down to $15 a share. It used to be at 65. What are we going to go down to? What? Taking a car everywhere we go, never fly? So, you know, and the domestic favorite is Southwest. But they're all coming back big. We talked about this in March, April, May in the newsletter. Every day, we're going to have what? High unemployment. These people are not all going to be called back, but these companies are going to have big earnings because they don't have many employees and they're canceling all their real estate deals because everyone's working remotely. So they've got way big savings. And then their earnings divided into those expenses is going to make their earnings look, their revenues into those expenses are going to look very good. And we're going to have higher earnings than you've ever saw. And it's going to shock you because we're still going to be in a pandemic. That's what we said in March, April, May. And that's what's been happening. And that's what's been happening to the stocks that were what they call epicenter stocks and out of favor. This is brought to you every week in the newsletter, optionprofessor.com, the voice of reason. All right. So that's the story there on the airlines. And again, other things that have been coming back, who would have ever thought Kohl's was coming back? Well, not most people, because look at Kohl's. Kohl's went down all the way down to $10 a share. Now it's at 33. Came down from what? 80? Come on. I mean, when you buy it at $10, you're buying an option. And meaning you have the right to buy, you have the right to own that thing for as long as you want until that company goes belly up. So basically you have a limited risk on it, right? And you don't have leverage like you do on an option, but you don't have an expiration date. You can hold it until they go out of business or until it snaps back. So basically that's what's going on here. People are now saying that we're getting closer to normal than further away. That's what they're saying right now. Now, if the numbers turn bad, that's how you're going to get the correction. People wonder right now, how could it possibly go down on the stocks? It's strong. Tomorrow it's going to be strong. We're going to all have turkey and be happy. Well, the way it'll turn around is obviously the volume dries up because the volume coming in now is all being filled and there has to be volume behind it to keep it going. Now, if the news changes, obviously the buyers may put their checkbook away for a while. And this is a big move that can't be sustained possibly. And that's how you get the pullback. 5-10%? Sure. 20-30%? No. But you know, if you pulled back to 25 here or 28, that'd be a heck of a lot better time than getting in at 35 for your initial buy. But this one's just coming out of the chute. So you don't know if it's going to pop to this area here, 45 quick, particularly if they have good reports that come out. This gives you the 6-month viewpoint. And that gives you an idea how overbought we are on a short-term basis. So when I tell you we're overbought, there's your evidence right there. That's called way overbought. So there's vulnerability here. That's why I'm saying don't add up here unless you feel like you're playing some news event that you can trust or you have a stop on it or you're a gambling freak and you can't stop trading, whatever the problem is. But we're not proponents of adding to something that's already up here that high because where are you going to put your stop? If you put it in a dollar or two lower, you could be out before you get your coffee. Okay. You know, again, again, in Nevada and in Macau, you know, people don't understand that people will gamble and they're going to come back in there and they're going to gamble. So that's why stuff like Wynn, when it goes down to 70, is a bargain, right? And when you buy it down at 70, you know, obviously when it gets above the red line, 72, boom, you take your shot and you got it all the way up here to 102, 104. Same things with Las Vegas Sands. Las Vegas Sands. So where are you here? Again, they've got a big outfit over there in Macau. Same story, right? You come down to 44 from 53. Actually, this thing came down from way higher than that. You get above the red line at 46, and now you're in there at 58, doing very good. MGM, same story. DraftKings, something we've been all over as well. These millennials like to gamble, and that's the next group you have to keep an eye on, because that's the ones who are going to inherit all that money from the baby boomers. And the baby boomers have a ton of money, and so a ton of money is going to go over to the millennials. And when the millennials get it, one thing they like doing, it seems like, is doing gambling. So this thing should have a bright future to it. We were in it earlier in the year in the 30 area, wrote it up, got out, and then we started coming back in the 30s, and now it's in the 40s. Okay, this looks like a good one to us, along with Penn Gaming. And Penn Gaming, looking good. There you go, back on the bicycle. And one that I, you know, Churchill Down, CHDN. I just thought they had the racetrack. Then my buddy told me that they're into all kinds of stuff. So I said, okay, I'll take a look and take a look what this thing has done. Talk about Home Run Derby. This thing went for, well, this is just the last 6 months. Let me give you the last year or so. You'll be shocked. $60 to $160. That's a 300% gain this year. Is that a bad deal? Not at all. Okay. So anyway, those are some of the gaming stocks. They also benefit from this turnaround as well. The transports have gone nuts because e-commerce is so big. And how do you think you get these packages? By Stork. So obviously UPS and FedEx have been fantastic. And then the Russell Index, you know, the ones that are, what do you call it? Small cap, towards small cap. They could never make new highs from 2018. The high was 1700. And then all of a sudden now, where are we at? 1859. So it's blown out the 2018 highs. You know, one of the reasons is that our savings rate, you know, when we got closed down, households have got a ton of money. Why do they have a ton of money? Well, if you can't go out and eat and you can't go on vacation, wouldn't you have more money? And you can't go anywhere, wouldn't you save that on gas as well? So what's the story? The story is that there's so much money in these households, they don't know what to do with them, which means consumer spending has got a lot of leg room to go. And buying into stocks with all that money that you don't use for all that traveling and stuff is obviously another thing that's supporting the market. So household savings has never been better. In fact, if you look at a graph going back, you know, many, many decades, you'll find that it's off the chart. Household savings, off the chart. Okay. Now it's possible it could stay high because people's jobs are suspect and et cetera, et cetera. But the bottom line is the money's there if these guys want to spend it. It's not like people are tight for money. All right. So that's a big factor I thought I'd bring out. Other retailers that we've been all over in the newsletter, Ross stores. You know, we think people like to buy cheap. Why do you think Walmart does so well? So Ross, you buy, you know, name brand for nothing. And look at it, up $5 today. So we've loved this thing ever since it hit into the 70s and basically into the 75 area, getting above the red line. Okay. Getting above the red line. You know, we really like this. This has worked out good. TJ Maxx, not as much, but not bad. So this is some of the universe of stocks that we keep an eye on. There you go, right? That's why we do it. Now, listen, Bitcoin to me is very confusing. You know, what's your wallet and how many halvings is going on? And, you know, I'm no expert on it, but I do know that it makes sense from the standpoint of the millennials are not that interested in President Andrew Jackson. I can tell you that because I have millennials and they're not that interested in paper. So if they're not interested in paper and presidents from yesteryear and they're not interested in just using a vehicle that they can print unlimited amounts of, then Bitcoin makes some sense. And I think there's only $300 billion of Bitcoins out there. So compared to gold, where there's like 10 trillion or something like that, you know, Bitcoin is a small universe. And that's why it's going like it is now, because people are interested in it. And there's not that much of it when you put into perspective how much paper currency there is. So that's why it's going nuts. Okay. Now, how do you play Bitcoin? I play it through GBTC, which is Grayscale. Why? Because I can go to the New York Stock Exchange or wherever it's trading, and I can get a price that has a bid and an offer, and I can get a price on something that's regulated, and I can jump on a train that I have some idea what the train's all about. Whereas if I start getting into the actual Bitcoin and buying the Bitcoin myself, this is just me talking, it's not something I'm comfortable with. But this thing here is not something I'm uncomfortable with at all, so this is why I use it. Now, has this been a bad deal? Well, come on, this is in the last year. It was at $5. It's now at 20. It hit $24, $22. So, I mean, of course, it's a great thing to be in. With regards to a volume, today's volume on Grayscale Bitcoin was 17 million shares. I mean, come on, you know, that's a lot of shares. So there is some liquidity to it, right? And again, you know, is this going to pull back like everything else? Probably. And when it does, you know, you got the blue line there. Play the blue line. If it goes back to 15, you're lucky. If it goes back to 16, that's not bad. And more than likely, maybe you get a spot filling in this gap at 19. But you, this is something I would accumulate over a long period of time and see if, in fact, this is going to go. Because look, this is the long-term graph on it going back 5 years, right? And you can see that the moving averages are pointing up, the RSI is up. And again, it used to be at 38, I guess, here back in 17. But it blew out the 18 level for 19. But again, it's extended. And, you know, when you're trying to accumulate something, you want to try to get some dips. This had a dip. If it gives you a dip, you know, see about accumulating it. Because long-term, this thing makes a lot of sense to me and many people. The blockchain seems to be fairly secure and the acceptability is increasing. And people like Square and PayPal are using it. So, you know, this is something I think could be a part of a portfolio. The next thing is these marijuana stocks, something I don't know anything about, but I guess it's getting legalized and popular. So MJ is a ETF that gives you a whole bunch of them. And rather than you trying to play pin the tail on the pot stock, let them play it. And as you can see, the low here was 8 and the low here is 10. And now it's getting above all the lines. If we ever get above 16, which is the resistance, because you see those lows, that's the resistance right here, resistance. So if this thing gets above 16 and these averages turn up, you know, you might be onto something down here. So if you want to diversify into the pot stocks, I just gave you a good way of doing that, I think. Okay, what else is on the radar here? Yeah, individual oil stocks. Looking at ConocoPhillips, up 4%. Looks like it's going someplace, way underneath the highs. There's your low right there, and it looks like it's going someplace. Another one people like, Phillips Petroleum. But again, if you look at these ETFs in oil and you look at their top 10 holdings, it gives you a little universe of which to play. And I'm sure all these things are pretty much in or near the top 10. There you go. Another one taken off. Another one people like with a higher yield is this Kinder Morgan. And Kinder Morgan taken off here after being down. And I was looking at one that had a really high yield. You know, again, these guys can cut their dividends, so there's no assurance that these dividends will hold. But if they pay them, some of these companies are borrowing money to pay them. So that sounds crazy, and it is probably. But Sunoco, again, this pays quite a bit of a dividend, and it's looking like it might be taking off someplace. So keep an eye on that. Again, dividends are not guaranteed. So don't get in there just thinking of that. The cruise lines, Carnival, big move, starting to try to take off. Is there potential here? Well, you know, this is where it came down from. You know, these areas up here. So you got room up there. Another one people look at here is Norwegian Cruise Line, NCLH. And what do you got here on Norwegian? Hey, not a bad one to own today, huh? So there you go. Get a couple of cruise lines. If the stock goes down, you can cry in your cruise beer. Let's see what else has been cooking here. Yeah, Qualcomm, the 5G guys. Let's take a look. Yeah, Qualcomm is best of breed, although that does look like a high surrounded by lower highs, so I'd be a little nervous up here. You know, what you might consider doing, and this is what we talk about in the newsletter, is hedging from time to time, for gosh sake. When a stock goes up like this, right, you're going to have calls at 160 going for lots of money. So you sell the call at 160. And say you get 15 or 20 bucks. That's like selling it at 175 or 180. And you can even take that money or some of that money and buy a put underneath at 140. So if the thing goes down, you got a hedge going at 140 paid for by the call you sold. Okay? That's not a bad tactic for some people. Investigate it. Get all the facts and figures. Talk to your brokerage firm and basically see what you think. Let's look at Tesla. Now, Tesla, I think, is going to do just like Apple did. It's running up on news. What's the news? Is that they're going into the S&P 500. Okay. Well, that's a secret no more. And when's it going in? It's going in on December 21st. Okay. Now, every hedge fund and every S&P fund, you don't think they already have some of this in there? If they didn't, don't you think they put it in the last month? So obviously, once it is announced on the 21st, and if this thing is way higher like it is now, don't you think it's possible that it could fall under its own weight? I'll give you an example. Things up to 562 now in the aftermarket. Again, the 21st is almost a month away. So who knows where they'll bid this thing up between now and then. But we saw it happen with Apple. I mean, when a stock split, and we saw what happened with Tesla on the run-up. When a stock splits, What they're doing is if you give somebody a $5 bill and they give you five singles back, you're no richer. The company didn't get any richer because they split the stock. So when they run this thing up to 137 on the stock split, the guy who's selling into all the, because he can see the volume coming in, right? I mean, everyone's buying and buying and buying. So what do you think the guy's going to do on the sell side? Stand in front of a freight train? He's going to raise his offer to a price that is just ridiculously high, that he knows that after he takes all that volume in, if there's no volume behind it, it'll fall under its own weight, which is exactly what happened here, because this thing went almost a 40 PE ratio. So people up here who are selling know what? That once this thing comes out and they split and people wake up and smell the coffee, they're going to see that the valuation of this thing is ridiculous and it can't sustain itself. And that's what happens. And that's what happened after it came out. So I believe, and we believe, that Tesla runs the same risk because they're bidding it up because it's going into an index, among other reasons. But I think that obviously it's running up on some news because it's inordinate activity, right? Okay. So basically that gives you a little bit on those two. Now, what about NIO? I like to keep an eye on NIO. You like the EV market? There's the NIO. Down a little bit today, but yeah, well, again, when you get this far above your moving averages, and these are longer term averages, I'll show you a short term average here, shorter term. Let's look at a year. You know, when you get this far over your moving averages, you know, anything can happen, right? So again, it's tough to start getting into something after it's already gone up that high. With regards to another one, Nikola. And this was up good today. Again, there's many angles to this electric vehicle market. These guys have a few of them covered. So even if they don't get into the actual production or whatever, they've got certain ways of making money in that industry. Plus, they got that deal with GM. So this thing is starting to turn again. Obviously, it had bad news and it tanked. And then after it tanked, if you think it is viable, this is when you're supposed to get into it when it broke above 20. Now it's at 34. But the news on this thing is turning, and so is the RSI. So I'd keep an eye on this. It could have a second life in it. That's CEO, I think, caused a lot of trouble for them. So that was that. Okay, let's take a little bit of a look at, another sector, Boeing. Industrials. Got a couple here in industrials that look like they could be worth a look. But again, Boeing's already snapped back quite a bit. But, you know, that's what it looks like. So obviously it's above the averages, gave it a buy signal at 160, and it could have trouble all the way up towards 300. So between here, and it has a gap it could fill there, which comes in at 260. And you got a little bit of resistance here, which comes in around 280. So anywhere 260 to 300 would be a neighborhood where it could rally, but also could have some trouble. Again, these guys have got canceled orders up and down the pike, but they do have a defense business. Raytheon is somewhat interesting. RTX. And Raytheon obviously taking off, looking good. Next one up was Honeywell. And there you go. Honeywell's looking very good as well. On the financials, you know, a lot of people overlook American Express, but they shouldn't. And American Express could have a good future as well. Let's see what that's looking like today. It was up 4% today, that tells you. But it looks like, look, again, there's where the 52-week high is, 135, and you're still trading 120. Big gap here, okay? If it doesn't get filled, that's very strong. 110 is clearly where you'd want it to stay above if you're buying at 120. But American Express is interesting, that's for sure. So those were some of the ones on the radar list here. Let's see some other ones like Salesforce. Is that giving us any look here? Salesforce. Oh, it's up a little bit today. Yeah, Salesforce gets above 270. You got it turning. See, that's not way away from the averages. So it's not an embarrassment to buy at 260 and put a stop under 250. But personally, I would think, my opinion and observation, which is what I'm sharing with you today, my opinions and my observations. If it gets above 270, it would be gaining momentum. And then if you wanted to give it $20 to 250, you should be okay. Okay, RSI, what's it look like? Your RSI is ready to turn up. So you get this thing closing above 250, and I think you might be onto something. ServiceNow was another one people were taking a look at here, and that's NOW, ServiceNow. And a lot of guys like to use this Bazinga Pro. So if you guys are looking for, they told me something about $100 a month. I'm not sure. I don't work for them. I don't know much about them. But the people I was talking to who trade a lot were saying that they like using it for information and things that are moving, things that are not moving, that kind of thing. ServiceNow looks the same, right? You get above 540, it looks like it could go someplace. So again, both Salesforce and ServiceNow are not in a big overbought condition. And if they can get going, get some momentum. RSI is telling me as well that it's right around 50, right? So 53. Well, you know, when it gets going, it can go up much higher. So I would keep an eye on service now as well and see if that's what's going. How about the guys like PayPal and Square? They got anything looking here? Let's find out. Because MasterCard and Visa are supposed to get on the bike too with the turnaround. Yeah, there you go. But is it a decent? Well, see, that's not a bad place to look. Why? Because you're not that far out of the moving average area. It's just beginning to go. It's not one of those ones that are way up already. So keep an eye on PayPal. Let's look at Square. Square, not so much. Well, it's already popped a little bit. Still in an uptrend, still looking good, but it looks like PayPal actually is starting to move right this second as opposed to this one. And then, of course, they love Visa, MasterCard. Let's take a look at Visa. Up today, not too much. Yeah, this is an elephant, so elephant's hard to move, right? But gets above 215 with the moving averages looking like this, it could have something going. And MasterCard, I believe, is MA. Last time I checked, yep. Okay, MasterCard, a little bit better looking as far as, you know, distance between the moving averages and the price. Starting to break out above some levels like there, looks good. And gets above 360 and you'd be off to the races here. Where's the RSI here? Yep, looking pretty good. So a little more strength out of this thing. And then get out point around 330, 325. Looks like it wouldn't be a terrible thing. And again, it's supposed to benefit from the reopening and things like this. But if we're going to get a sharp 5, 10% correction because everything's gotten ahead of itself, you know, these are some of the things that could have trouble. Maybe not as much as the other ones, but, you know, when they raid the house, everybody goes downtown, right? Zoom. Let's just take a quick look at the stay-at-home stocks. Zoom was a good bargain after it dropped way down from 600 into the low threes, I think. Now it's at 4. Yeah. So it fell down toward 350, and it's having a bounce back up. But that's an ominous chart. You know, everything looks like it's crossing over. So it could be the best days of Zoom are behind it because of the comparisons. How are they going to get the growth rate to look anything like it did this year, next year? Answer is, I don't think they will. Okay, Teladoc. That's the problem when you have these huge growth spurts. You know, when they do the comparisons the next quarter, next year, quarter over quarter, it's going to be tough. Another one that blooms come off the rows a little bit as well, Teladoc. Peloton, people are going to just get on a regular bike and go outside when they can. People are going to go back to the gym because they like to be social. They don't want to be just hocked up in their house with a headset on. That seems to be the case here because this thing has lost its altitude as well. But again, you know, you get above 120 again, then you're back on the bicycle because this is a rising blue line. The blue lines are always going to be your predominant moving average because it's the long-term average. Right now, you're underneath it. But just like stocks went underneath 2850 on the S&P, 2800 in March. And within a month, it was back above 2800. And that's what told you to get back in the market because it got back above the trend. Let me show you that so you can see. This is one of the reasons why in the newsletter, we were telling people that we're back on the bicycle because of this particular moving average that I'm looking at. Let's go back on the 20-year graph and you'll see. Okay. So you can see what I'm talking about. And I had a lot of buddies who have lots of money in the stock market wondering, should I get out? Should I get out? And I said, well, listen, I'm going to send you a chart and it's like hockey. If you're on the right side of the blue line, you won't get flagged. And so basically you can see ever since 800 on the S&P, you should be long stocks. Even here, long stock, because that was just a little dip, never even closed underneath it. And it's rising. When it's rising, you want to be long. So they had 1 month way down. By the next month, we're back above it and the rising continues. So 2700, 2750, 2800, that was your buy signal. Should be long ever since. Now, when you get this far away from the averages, it can come back down. And that's where I'm coming from when we say that the market could have some kind of a drop. But look at this RSI. You know, it also could accelerate to the upside because there is no alternative asset, right? There is no alternative TINA, meaning you keep your money in the money market account. You're guaranteed to make no money and people want to make some money. Second thing is, I told you the household savings rate is at the record high. So if you have record savings, you can invest, right? So we could see something weird happen here where it goes parabolic between now and the end of the year. It's possible. But if you're an odds player, you've got to give some weight to the fact how far away you are from the moving averages. And if you're, you know, this is a game of odds and chance on a short-term basis. And on a short-term basis, you have to give some respect to the fact that positioning seems to have been a little bit extended. RSI still in the low 20. And again, we showed you that's an area where it can sometimes turn. All right, so let's go to the metals because we've been telling people on the metals that they topped out at 2,100 gold and $30 silver. And a lot of people don't want to hear that because they think it's going to 5,000 gold and $100 silver. And we try to explain to them that may happen, but it's not going to happen right this second. So I'll show you what happened here. When we ran up August. And again, the dollar, I'll show you why this is correlated, okay? We ran up in August and look how how far away we are from the moving averages, and just a little bit higher than the all-time high, which means what? They ran all the stops. They got everybody who bought the breakout to buy in. Somebody sold it up here, right? Somebody sold it, and they said to themselves, this volume is not going to continue because this volume is ridiculous and it's coming off the chart. And so what's the likelihood of this thing falling back? And the odds were pretty good because you're so far away from the average. Okay? But I'll show you the real reason in a second. So what's our view on the gold? Our gold, our view after August was we're in a trading range of 1,800 and 2,100. Right? Then last month we said we're in a range of 1,800 and 1,900. Excuse me, in 2,000. So that's the new range. Now today we hit the bottom of the range here at 1,800. Okay, you'll notice that our moving averages on a long-term basis come in at 1,700, 1,500, and 1,450. So is there a potential going down to 1,700? We still think there is. If we were to close above 2,000, then the ozone is in play, meaning we don't know where it would stop. But that doesn't look like it's the case right now. Right now it's on the defensive, and it's trying to hold 1,800, which was the high here. That's where we came up with that 1,800 number. But we know our moving average is down to 1,700, and they still could dunk it further. And your RSI is pointing down now, not up. Now, if you look at the one-year graph, it totally broke down. Got the sell signal here at 1950. Punched through just a little bit, but that moving average is pointing down. Five-year graph, the moving average is still pointing up. And that's where we come in here. Looking for it to stop where? 1776. Very patriotic. So somewhere between 1750 and 1800, where we hit today, it's very possible you're going to bounce out of here. Very possible. Okay, but it should have trouble getting back above 1900. If it doesn't and gets above 1950, then obviously getting back on the train makes sense. Close above what? 1800? Where's the moving averages? Close above 1850? That would be constructive. Close above 1905, constructive. You get those kind of closes, then you got to change your tune. If you don't, then you got to figure that could get tested at 1776, which is an area I think that could, or the longer term averages could come into play. Let's look at silver bells. Silver blew off at 30. We told everybody 30 was about it. And we very bullish 18 to 20. Once we got above 19, we knew it was going because that's at the top. So here's our buy signal. Actually, our buy signal, like I told you, came in 17 to 19 right here. But the thing is above 19, that's when school is going to get let out. That was in the newsletter. And look at that. That's a jump. Now go to your longer term graphs and you'll notice that there was a reason why 30 might be a problem because you see this area here, that area right around here, that's right around 30. So you see there? Now, once the market doesn't make a new high in the next bar, which is the next month, then you can sell against that point. That's your defendable point because you failed to make a new high. And you can see here that it got very overbought. Right now, I think 24 to 26 is a big number. You see 26? You get above 26, and you see those lows here? Back above 26, I'll be bullish. But I'm not going to be bullish hoping it gets above there. I'm thinking now that it's trying to hold on for dear life with the possibility of going back to the breakout point, 19 to 21. But you can't fight the tape. That's why I say you get above 24 again, that would be positive, 25 positive, and 26 for sure. Okay, and that's for the gold mining shares too. GDX, we told people 46. That's about a tap out deal. It could go back towards 30. You'll see right now it's right back towards 30. The 200-day moving average is right around here. You can see down to about 3% here today. That doesn't look good, but we are a believer that it's possible that this 30 area where it broke out from here could be some support, but certainly it doesn't look good, you know, doesn't look good. All right, so that's what the metals look like. And let me show you one other thing here on the U.S. dollar, because that's something that told us that the metals were going to stop going up, and I'll show you why. It also told us that the metals would be going up. We believe the U.S. dollar rolled over right around 100. We were all over it up there, 104, 100. Once it broke under 100, school got let out. Look at this. See? You break under 100, all the averages are crossing right here. When's that? That's in May, June. That's when we said to buy the gold. Now look, boom, big drop in the dollar, right? But this was the low in September, and this was at 91.75. We haven't taken out 91.75 since. Do you notice that the gold peaked out at that point? The NASDAQ peaked out at that point, and the euro peaked out at that point, right? And they've never, none of them have made new highs since. Now, again, a lot of people think the dollar's going to collapse, and it might. The RSI is here. That's negative. The prices are underneath the moving averages. That's negative. But here's what I'm warning. I'm warning that the interest rate differential on our country versus other countries, meaning we're at almost at 1% on the 10-year note. We're at 165 to 170 on the 30-year bond. You know what rates are like in Japan? They're negative. negative. You know what rates are like in Europe? They're negative. So we've got another interest rate differential that's positive. Second thing is people think all this stimulus is going to be inflationary and stimulus is going to be so inflationary. Really? How was it inflationary in the 2000s? You know, gold never could hold a rally during the 2000s. How about after the crash of 08? Yeah, gold had a rally and it went way back down again because the printing does not cause inflation. It causes growth. And that's what makes the stock market go. So the stimulus is great for stocks and it doesn't cause inflation. In fact, it hasn't caused inflation since the 70s when baby boomers were doing all of their coming out of for jobs. But so again, if you see this dollar index go to 93, 94, 95, you probably will see further downside in the gold. Now, if we break underneath these lows and the gold holds 1700, 1750, 1800, that neighborhood, then I'll be looking at the long side of the metals again. But right now that's not happening. And so since that's not happening, I'm still thinking that the gold and silver are still grinding out what they call consolidation after such a big run-up. That is something, again, I'm keeping an eye on. The newsletter will keep you abreast of our opinions and things like that. One last thing, I got a minute or so. Let me just close up with the interest rate market because we have been negative on the bond market because we thought a cyclical turnaround happened in March, and you'll see why. We're going to go back on a 20-year basis, and you'll see that in the last 20 years, look at that. That's in March when people were panicking out of everything and rushing into bonds, and that yield was about 1% or something on the 30-year. That is the lowest rate we've seen since those high rates we saw with Volcker when they went to 16%. So Volcker is the extreme in 1980s, 82, at 16% long bond, and this is 1%. That's called a 30-year, 40-year bull market that ended in our view. And so interest rates are in a rising mode, and we think they're going to stay in a rising mode because of economic strength and because people are not stupid. They're not going to loan anybody money for 1% where they don't owe you the money back for 30 years. And when they pay you back the paper currency, Lord knows what it's worth. They're not going to go for that. Not here in the U.S. All right. Hey guys, listen, we're at the top of the hour here and I'm going to sign off. You guys must be exhausted after this day. I hope I gave you a wide variety of opinions and views. That's what we share every week in our newsletter. And again, it's free of charge. So if you want to get acquainted with what we do, just simply go to optionprofessor.com, OPTIONPROFESSOR.com, and put your email in there. And then free of charge, you'll get our weekly market update on a wide variety of markets like we talked about today with a wide variety of ideas. And here's another big bonus is if you have a question on anything specific that you'd like to have an opinion on or an observation on, you simply email us at optionprofessor@gmail.com. So if you're in a pickle or you're looking at something or you wanted an outside opinion or you just wanted to put more opinion into your soup before you make a decision, we're more than happy to share with you our views and our opinions and our observations to see if it might help. Again, especially also with hedging tactics. You know, people now are getting involved in things and they got big gains and they don't know what to do with them. Well, with options, you can do something about them. You can do covered writing. You could do collar strategies where you sell a call, buy a put. You can do replacement trades where you blow out the stock and replace it with either calls or call spreads, which reduces your cash out-of-pocket risk. Lots of things to do if you know what you're doing. And then you have to look at the risk of it all and the expenses of it all and other factors. Talk to your brokerage firm or whoever, and then you'll at least be able to have some data behind your question. So again, optionprofessor.com to get the weekly update and optionprofessor@gmail.com to pick our brain. No problem. Okay, guys, it's been great. I'm going to turn it back over to David. David, thank you very much for having me again, and look forward to talking to all you guys at the next webinar. Have a great evening, everybody. Signing out, optionprofessor.com.